step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason with you. Looking forward to get into a lot of stuff today. Hugh Freeze, Liberty head coach, will join us at 10:15. We'll talk about the Titans selecting his former quarterback, Malik Willis. We'll do that at 10:15. So that's coming up in 15 minutes. Hassan Haskins, this will be interesting to begin the second hour. Michigan State asking Michigan questions. Woo! Look forward to that to begin the second hour. You just made the list at high noon. Who or what has made you mad? And I'm just going to go on and put it out there in lieu of Mother's Day on Sunday. How about a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena in August? And you're qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. That's what's at stake for You Just Made the List. So you better bring the fire. You better bring the passion today at high noon, because this is no chump prize. This is the real deal. And if you can secure that for Mother's Day on Sunday, you are golden. D-Mace, what's up?
Nothing much, man. You know, it was a great game last night. Unfortunately, the Preds couldn't pull out the win. You know, they played a lot better than they did the night before. So, you know, there's no more victories in sports. There isn't. But you got to take your hat off to Connor Ingram and what he was able to do. I know he gave up two goals, but, man, he was getting peppered all day. It seemed like he didn't have a night off, like a second off, last night. And he stood in there, and he stayed calm and resilient. And even when he gave up a goal early, he fought. He fought through it because Colorado didn't let up. They did not let up. And, you know, partly you put that on the guys out on the ice. They spent too much time. Colorado spent too much time
in the Predator zone.
Yep. Yeah, it was just, I mean, every time you looked up, you know, Colorado was on the Predators, in, you know, on the Predator side of the zone. And you can't win a game or a series in that fashion. You just can't. So
it's basically the, you know, and they have obviously puck possession in hockey, but it's just TOP, right? Time of possession in football. If you never have the ball on offense, more times than not, you're not going to win the game, right?
Exactly.
If the other team dominates the clock, the time of possession. So it's just, yeah, the Predators definitely struggled entering the offensive zone. And, you know, hats off to Colorado. They were prepared for that. They were prepared to make their life miserable and not make it easy for them. The other part of this is just Colorado's just so stinking good. I mean, they're fast. And, gosh, there's just times when – I mean, I felt like Jerry Tarkanian at times during last night's game. I was chewing on a towel. I was wiping my forehead off. And, you know, I'm not doing anything. I can't imagine what it's like out on the ice. What it was like for Connor Ingram to remain that calm. 49 saves, by the way. And I got caught. I've been preaching, you got to refresh. Got to refresh. And I didn't refresh last night. And I thought he had 48 saves, and I gypped him of a save. They changed it. 49 saves. Sorry, Connor. Doesn't really change the narrative.
Nah,
you were
really
outstanding. That was the only chance the Predators had. I thought they were good in the first period. And I thought they were playing catch-up. They were just trying to sustain second and third periods. They were just holding on for dear life in the second and third periods and overtime. And unfortunately, you know, it finally got them in OT. I thought their biggest shot, Derek, was, you know, at the end of the second period, the goaltender interference.
Yeah.
You know, for everybody, like, oh, that's so easy. I just crack up. I'll be like, that's so easy. That's not a goal. Or, you know, that's a goal. Oh, really? It's that easy, right? Have you watched goaltender interference this year? We're right back to square one where we have no clue what they're going to call. I felt pretty good that it wasn't going to be a goal. And I'll tell you, the reason I felt the strongest is because the call on the ice was no goal. And that's the reason I leaned that way. A little bit stronger than 50-50, but you don't know what they're going to call, because I feel like I thought we had progressed past this, and now I feel like we've taken a couple steps back this year with goaltender interference, because they've come back with some wild calls this year where you're like, what? Just leave you scratching your head. So, you know, because Colorado lost that challenge, the Predators had a power play to begin the third period. And then they get a hit with a high stick 5 seconds into the third. Basically gives almost, what was it, a minute 50 of a 5-on-3. And I thought that was the – and I know there's still a long ways to go. That's just the first 2 minutes of the third period. But I really felt like the Predators have been on their heels the entire second period. They got outshot 21-5 in the second. I mean, they held on for dear life. Well, you know, and they had to kill off three penalties in the second. Connor Ingram was amazing, but I really thought that 5-on-3 opportunity was their chance to maybe take control or shift momentum their direction. And in fact, it almost worked against them, which is unheard of. Like, how many times do you ever see an odd man rush a 2-on-1 when you're down two men? What? I'm sitting there, I'm like, what is happening? What in the world is happening? If they would have given up a goal on that in that situation, like, it would have been game over, period. Like, if you're up two men and you give up a shorty, like, you're toast.
Like, you don't deserve to win. You really don't.
Quite honestly, yeah, you don't. I mean, I can't push back on that. You don't deserve to win.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Connor Ingram saved their bacon. And what is happening? Why on earth did that happen when you've got a 5-on-3?
It was like watching two boxers, and you have your good boxer, maybe your third or fourth ranked boxer versus the top boxer, and you know you're just playing defense, and you're not, and you're listening to the announcer and your corner. And they're saying, you got to throw a jab. You got to stick with, you got to throw these jabs. And you get back in the ring, and for some reason, you're not throwing your jab. You just defense, defense, defense. And you look up in the 12th round, and you're behind, and there's nothing you can do. And that's how I felt the Predators were. It was like they were just on defense all the time, and they couldn't get any offense flowing as much as they probably tried to. They just couldn't get it going.
Yeah.
Because Colorado was putting the pressure on them. When they thought they had a second to breathe, they didn't have a second to breathe.
Yep.
So, but yeah, but again, listen, there's no moral victories, but you have to take your hat off to Connor Ingram and how he played. Hopefully, he can duplicate that same play, and then you can get your top players, Duchesne, Yossi, to start playing and contribute, and maybe, just maybe, they can pull out a win here in Nashville.
Yeah. I was going to read a text here. Sorry, I'm trying to.
Not Yossi. I meant Johansson. I'm sorry.
Johansson, yeah.
Yeah, not
Yossi.
Not Johansson.
Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says if the offensive guys played more offense, then we would have been horrible on defense and lost by three. Last night was best case scenario. We just ain't on the same level talent-wise. Too many overpaid guys. I don't understand the overpaid guys. Okay, Yossi's the highest paid player on the team. Let's see. Is he overpaid? I don't think anybody. I mean, literally no one in this market would say he's overpaid. No one. He had a year. I don't even. Why am I defending?
Yeah, don't even defend that one.
This is a waste of time. Like, just move on. Okay, Johansson and Duchesne are the next highest paid players. Let's see, Duchesne led the team in goals with 43. Mm-hmm. He had both goals in game one, so this is Matt Duchesne's fault? And Ryan Johansson had a great year. For all the people that have been screaming for him to stop waiting into the playoffs, Ryan Johansson had the best year in the regular season he's had since a member of the Predators. And then Philip Forsberg had 42 goals. That's the reason? Too many overpaid guys?
Yeah, that's
I don't see that. I'm at a loss on that one. I don't understand that statement.
Well, that's
UC Soros makes $5 million a year.
It's easy to say, though, Darren. It's easy to say because of the way the last two games have gone. People quickly forget about what happened during the season, and these so-called high-paid players, which is, three, four, five of them, they played great during the regular season, you know? And you soon forget that. Have things gone the way the Predators wanted to the last two games? No. And they need to kick it in gear. But to say that, it's happening because you have too many high-paid players, that doesn't make sense. Every team has high-paid players.
Actually, they're in great cap shape. It's not like you could look at their salaries and say, oh, my gosh, they can't even do anything this offseason. No, they can do a lot. So, I just think, and look, it is okay to be frustrated today. The bottom line is, it was going to be an uphill climb no matter what. Colorado's just that good. They're just better. They just are. They may go on to win it all. They may choke. I don't know. They've been choking, so, I wouldn't be surprised. But they're just that good. They just really are. They are a machine. Without a doubt. So we'll continue the discussion a little bit later for sure. When we come back, Hugh Freeze, Liberty head coach, will join us. We'll ask him about Malik Willis. We'll find out what the Titans have in their third round pick at quarterback. We'll do that on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe cracked the door. Here on the DDC on this Friday morning. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason with you. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. A little rain off and on here in Nashville today, but we'll try to keep some sunshine in your life. We're going to cover a lot of ground here today, and let's start by talking with Liberty head coach Hugh Freeze. He is on the line with us. Good morning, coach. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for joining us. It was a week ago today when the Titans moved up a couple of spots and they selected your former quarterback in the third round. So we're dying to know a little bit more about what we have in Malik Willis. Of course, there was so much talk about him coming into the draft, so much talk all season about him. So you know best, so the floor is yours.
Well, first, I think you're getting an incredible human being that's going to the Nashville community is going to fall in love with, whether it's him making everyone around him feel like they're important, him giving back to the community through his community service thoughts. He's very active in that. I just think he's one of the most unique, humble, yet most talented kids I've ever coached, and it's a rare combination to have that, and that's why he was so revered here by all of our people and everyone that has met him. And so I think first and foremost you're getting, an incredible person that obviously is not perfect, none of us are, but he's pretty dang special, and everyone that comes in contact and will experience that. And then I think it translates into the locker room. The people are going to want to play with him and be with him and be around him. And he truly, genuinely seems to be more excited for teammates that do well than when he does well. Hmm. And it just comes across so genuine. And whether you tell him he's the starting quarterback or, hey, you're not ready yet and you're – second team, third team, whatever, his response will be the same. Great, how do I help the team? And so that's the type of person he is. And so I think it's going to be someone that everyone is thrilled to have in the city of Nashville.
I'm sure as a longtime coach like yourself, you watch how players handle adversity, right? We all have to handle adversity in life, yep. even at a young age. He's had to handle adversity. Things have not gone his way. He wasn't a five-star recruit, and everybody was beating down his door. Hey, come play for us. So he had to deal with that adversity. He went to Auburn, didn't work out there, had to face adversity, ended up eventually at Liberty, and now everybody was like, oh, he's a first-round pick, he's a first-round pick, and he slides to the third round, and now he's got to deal with adversity again. You know, again, his makeup better than us. How do you think he will handle yet again more adversity in his life?
Here's what I think he would say to you in regards to the things you just mentioned, and I mm-hmm. agree with you. He would say, man, this ain't adversity. I'm getting to play in the NFL. that's really his response, and it's really the truth. And I've tried to model that for him through this whole process. Is, man, listen, NFL draft day one is just one day. It has nothing to do with the determination of your career. Yes, it was disappointing, and he was disappointing that night that only one quarterback went in the first round, and certainly it provided some anxious moments. He's real. He gets that, but, boy, he bounces back so fast, and it's like, you know, this really is not adversity. Adversity is, man, when you're facing health issues or tragedy in life, or sometimes we make mistakes that cause our own adversity. This was not that way, and it's just he has taken it in stride. And truthfully, it may be better that he landed where he landed. You know, he believes that God has a plan for him. And man, there's a lot of good places to live, and I can't think of many better than Nashville. And the Titans are pretty dang good right now, so. I don't think he would even view that as adversity, and so I think that's another great quality he has.
Speaking with Liberty head football coach Hugh Freeze on the line with us. So I doing this for a long time, and obviously I would never name names, but it does happen. I've seen it happen. Sometimes people, you know, in doing goodwill, they just kind of show up when the cameras are there so they can get caught on camera doing something nice yeah. for somebody. And then when the cameras go off, they disappear. Like I said, I would never name names, but I have seen that over the years. So I know it happens. I have to believe with what you've already said in this short amount of time, Malik Willis did not just show up on the street, knew the cameras were on, and decided to stop and help somebody, a lady on the street, by giving her, I guess it was some Nike gear or whatever he gave her. Yeah. It sounds like that was just yeah. a genuine moment.
It's unfortunate that we have so many skeptics that would maybe even assume that, but I can assure you with 100% certainty, he had absolutely, he don't even know who videoed it to this day. You know, he has that. That's just who he is. And I could tell you examples of this last bowl game we've gone to. Of course, people saying, "Hey, you shouldn't play. You're going to be a first round draft pick." Man, he walks in my office. That's never an issue for him, coach. You know, I'm finishing. Then you go to the bowl game. He still has all that going on. You have these community service projects throughout the week of the bowl. You know, that we try to assign to different position groups so everybody doesn't have to do all of them. Heck, Malik wants to go to multiple ones. And there's no cameras on him then. That's just who he is.
We're talking to Liberty head football coach Hugh Freeze. Now, coach, what is his biggest strength? You know, we see the big arm. We see the mobility. We see he can't adjust to different situations. But what is his biggest strength?
His big strength is his athleticism. I mean, you look at what the game is doing today. I don't get to watch a ton of NFL games, but I do get to watch the playoffs because our seasons are over then, and everyone is struggling to protect the quarterback. These D-lines are so good, and very few offensive lines can consistently protect them, and so the way it seems the game is being played now, those quarterbacks that have the ability to extend plays, that extend drives, are invaluable. Now, you can't just run around and do anything. You've got to be an accurate arm and strong arm, and he's got all of that. And so I think the sky's the limit. This guy's only played quarterback 2 years, and there's so much that he can learn. And it's like I would tell these general managers, what he doesn't know, he doesn't know. You know, it's not that he can't. There's still so much more to that position that he's going to grow into. And I think he's durable, he's strong, he has great balance, and he picks up football IQ stuff pretty dang good. And you combine that with his athleticism, and I really think, I don't know how long or what time frame it will be, but I think somebody's going to be really, really, really glad they have him.
And I can
tell you this, I have a college mind, and I do think the game is changing. I think the NFL is becoming more like the college game every year, because I know I clinic with some of them, and they're asking me all these questions. But I know this, I'd take Derrick Henry and Malik Willis on short yardage with zone read any day of the week and every day.
Hey, I echo that sentiment, I tell you, especially Derrick Henry.
I would let them, hey, either you got to stop Derrick Henry inside zone, and if you want to add to that, then you got to stop Malik Willis on pulling it. I like that short yardage package.
Now, how was that transition for Malik coming from Auburn to Liberty? Because it's going to be sort of the same transition, you know, leaving college and coming to the NFL, because like you said, there are things he doesn't know, and there are things he's going to learn, and he's a willing learner. But how was that transition for him coming from a, you know, a bigger university to Liberty, and now, you know, him obviously making the transition to the NFL?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with being bigger or smaller. Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with just the system and how similar they are. And so he came from Auburn to ours, which are two totally different systems, and he picked up on ours really well. Now you're going to multiply that times five, moving from our system to, you know, the NFL system. The great thing is you also multiply the time he has to learn by five. You know, I can only have 4 hours a day with him. You know, you can multiply that as much as they want, and he's willing to sit in the film room and learn. So, is there going to be a learning curve? Sure. Biggest learning curve is the speed of the game has to speed up for him. His reads have to speed up. His drops have to speed up because he's playing against the best athletes in the world. But I'm not concerned at all that he will not be able to comprehend with the time they have to coach him and teach him the system.
Last thing, because we always wonder with the athletic ability and the running ability, because it is, you know, we've seen it play out here and guys like Marcus Mariota and others, Vince Young, over the years, can he make the throws at this level? In your opinion, you've seen him. We obviously saw his pro day and the throws. But at the NFL level, do you believe, in your opinion, he can make all the throws?
There's no question. Now, whether or not the timing is right and all of that, there is no way anyone can argue he can't make all the throws. I mean, the Senior Bowl had him as the highest RPMs on the balls in the last 15 years of any Senior Bowl participant. So, I mean, you know, there's no question. You go out there against air right now, and he will make every single throw from every hash to every spot on the field physically. And now it's a matter of you got to do it when it's live at the right timing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I hope Mike Vrabel and some offensive folks for the Titans are listening to this interview. They probably got pretty geeked and pretty excited because they probably want to mold this play.
I think it's a great fit. Yeah, I do. I think it's a great fit. I think that coaching staff does a great job, and I look forward to seeing what happens.
Hugh, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for doing this and lending a little insights on Malik Willis, and we'll talk to you down the road. Best of luck this upcoming season.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is Liberty head football coach Hugh Freeze, and he's been at Liberty 3 years, and they've gone to the bowl or gone to a bowl game the last 3 years. He's had a lot of success. He's 26-11 at Liberty. We'll come back and discuss some things you just heard about Malik Willis. Derek, I want to get your thoughts on what Coach Freeze just said. We'll do that on the other side. DDC, ESPN, 102.5, The Game. keep this in mind. There's going to be several ways to win tickets to Game 3 tomorrow afternoon at Bridgestone Arena. If you're up north of town, go to the food court at the Rivergate Mall. Yes, it's Rivergate Mall, not Rivergate Y'all. That'll be from 12:30 to 2:30 this afternoon, 12:30 to 2:30. And you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Avs Game 3. So that's one thing to keep in mind. If you're up north of town today during the hours of 12:30 to 2:30, a chance to win Game 3 tickets. Also, today on the show, we will give you an opportunity to win tickets to Game 4 on Monday night at Bridgestone Arena. We will do that. Also, you just made the list. We're in a giving mood today. It's going to be Michael Bublé tickets at Bridgestone Arena in August. Plus, you'll also be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. But you'll have to participate coming up at high noon. So keep that in mind. A great prize for you just made the list. But you will have to call in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. So what a great Mother's Day gift that would be. By the way, those tickets have gone on sale. They went on sale this morning. So that will be a hot, hot show. Okay, appreciate Hugh Freeze for joining us, Liberty head football coach. What did you? What were some of your takeaways, Derek? What did you think talking about Malik Willis?
One that, you know, the type of person that Hugh described Malik to be, and if you're from the outside looking in, and from what everything you've seen, it matches what Hugh Freeze said. Mm-hmm. His willingness to you know, to help no matter what the situation is. Again, you saw a snapshot of that. When Coach says, you know, he's worried about other people, he's worried about making sure other people are doing the right things or making sure, you know, everyone else is okay and he's excited about everybody else. And then you sort of take that and you mesh it in. And then you sort of make it translate to the real world and what it would look like. Well, what it looked like is him walking past a homeless person and giving them his, you know, his gear that he got from the combine. That translate. He helps, you know, inside the locker room, but he also, it doesn't just, you know, stop in the locker room. It's outside the locker room. It's what he does in the community. And listen, I know that's not going to ultimately win you football games, but it's a start. It shows you his character and what he's willing to do in order to win a football game. So that to me, and you hear it a lot from coaches, but then you start to see some of the things that certain coaches talk about. You start to see it in their players. And I think, you know, for all who've been following Malik, they've seen it. And for us who's gotten snapshots of it, we've seen it, whether it be, you know, him on the field or him off the field and the things that he's done. So to me, that really stuck out. And that he just wants to come in here, whether it be, you know, drafted by the Tennessee Titans or whether he was drafted by the Chicago Bears. He just want to go in and help in any way possible. So, you know, to me, that's what stuck out.
Something that stuck out to me was him talking about when I said at the end, Mike Vrabel, this offensive staff, whether it's OC, new quarterbacks coach, it came off to me as he's a ball of clay. Like they'll have an opportunity and they'll have time, I believe, to kind of mold him because he hasn't been playing the position very long. I took from Hugh Freeze that he's got still a lot to learn. He's like basically like if he doesn't know it, it's not because he doesn't know the position. He doesn't know it. Like he literally hasn't been taught that, right? He hasn't been doing it for a long period of time. So you just got to teach him something. So that's kind of my takeaway. Mm-hmm. I took away that this young man's got a lot to learn, and I think they're in a position where they can sit and hopefully he'll have a red shirt year and he can just sit and learn and soak in as much as possible, be around the team, be out on the practice field and learn how to be a pro, learn what it's like at this level and see if he can grow, you know, behind the scenes before eventually you know, he someday he'll get an opportunity, I believe. I mean, I can't imagine that he's like some of the other quarterbacks they've drafted. Those guys were more like sixth, seventh round or whatever, where he's not going to make out of camp. I don't believe that for a minute. I think they know what they have in him. He's going to be a bit of a project, but a project that could turn out to be something pretty special. But who knows? A long ways to go. I believe that they moved up to draft him because they're in it for the long haul, or at least for a good while, right? They want to see if they can truly turn him in to an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, when you draft a guy in the third round.
You don't move up in the third round to cut a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Unless that guy just, you know, what you thought of him, what you seen of him, what you heard of him, and then you get him in camp and it's like, whoa, that was, I mean, what everyone said and what I've heard isn't true.
He's a skunk in a woodpile. Exactly. We know he's not going to be that. We know that.
Yeah, so he's in a really good position. He's in a position that a lot of young players don't really truly understand and appreciate sometimes the position they come into. Meaning, I'm not talking about when you come in as a first-round pick or the number one pick in the draft. That's exciting, and that's an honor in itself. But I'm talking about the guys that come in third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, and they're put in a situation where, you know, yeah, they want to play, but, you know, you got to realize the situation you're in is the best situation, because what happens now is you get to sit back and you get to learn, you get to watch, you get to understand, you get to observe. I understand it because I was in that position. As much as I wanted to play, all my football career, whether it be in high school, college, or the NFL, I had to sit back and watch for a period of time. I didn't like it. I thought I should have been playing, but it was the best thing for me as a player to sit back and watch in high school, to sit back in college and watch Musin Muhammad and Mill Coleman and some of these other good receivers, watch them and learn from them, then come into the NFL and watch it and learn it. And then once you get your opportunity, you got to make the best of it. Some guys just want to come in, I want to play. Their egos are bigger than the building, and they feel they deserve to play. No, you don't deserve to play. You don't. You deserve to show them you can play. But after that, you don't deserve to do anything, you know, in regards to that. But he gets an opportunity to sit and learn and watch and absorb as much of that playbook as he possibly can, because I think it will only help him moving forward. Like Coach said, he hasn't been playing this position for a very long time. You know?
Do you think they'll give him a lot of preseason work?
They should. They truly should. If they're looking at this from a, you know, from a project standpoint, meaning we don't want him to play now, but we want him to get some reps, some live reps, in order to help build his confidence, in order to help him see the things we're going to ask him to see, and to help him realize how fast this game is, then he should get a lot of reps in preseason. There shouldn't be a preseason game he doesn't play. He should be playing at least two quarters of a preseason game. He should. No slight to the backup Woodside. No slight to Woodside. But Woodside, you've had 2-3 years to solidify that position. You understand what the game's about. You know, we're bringing this third round guy in here, and we're going to give him every chance to learn, you know, in the preseason, because during the season, we're not going to count on him. We're just not. You know, we're going to count more so on Woodside to be the backup than Malik Willis.
Come back. We brought up Derrick Henry in that interview. In fact, Hugh Freeze referenced Derrick Henry. I was looking at running back rankings for 2022, the top 10. Get in that mindset. Get in the mindset. Top 10 projected running backs in the rankings going into the 2022 season. I want to hear how many of these you can get and where you think everybody's going to be. We'll do that to close out hour number one. Hassan Haskins, newest Titans running back from Michigan. their fourth-round pick, will join us to begin the second hour of the show. You're listening to the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hassan Haskins coming up to begin the second hour, newest Titans running back. He will be number 28, D-Mace. Theo Jackson, the sixth-round pick from UT, Nashville kid. Theo Jackson will be 29. Treylon Burks will be 16. And Malik Willis, who we were talking about earlier, will be wearing number 7 this upcoming season. So,
Billy Volek.
Yes, Billy Volek. Hey. Gotta be honest. If he plays like Billy Volek, that wouldn't be horrible.
Oh no, it wouldn't be. Just got to sustain it.
Right, right. Not short bursts, but exactly. His short bursts were really, really good.
Hey, they were
off
NFL,
the charts.
They were
actually,
NFL record setting.
Yes. Yeah, he just didn't. He went right. That was a good point. He just wasn't able to sustain it. So, this is according to Warren Sharp, who is does NFL analytics. Mm-hmm. And sharpfootballanalysis.com and sharpfootballstats.com. And so this is where this is coming from. And he's putting out his 2022 running back rankings. Who do you think he's got as number one?
Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
He's got, of course, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I can read you, but, I think everybody knows that because of the offensive line, and I know they took some hits on the offensive line, but they've got JT number one. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm not surprised.
No.
Who do you think is number two?
Okay, you're bringing it up in a way that my next answer is going to be wrong, I feel.
Okay.
I would say Derrick Henry, but but it's not Derrick Henry.
Well, that just shows you that you've been doing too many shows with me because you know I'm bringing it up because,
exactly.
Yes, Derrick Henry's not number two. So who's number two?
Oh, man. Thinking. Is it Dalvin Cook?
It is not.
Joe Mixon?
Dalvin Cook was eighth. I was really surprised
by
that. Basically, they're just saying that he doesn't get in the end zone enough.
Who, Dalvin Cook? Okay. Yeah. Man, I mean, I could go through the whole
Christian
list.
Christian McCaffrey, number two. I got a problem with that.
What is he basing it on?
He's played in 10 games the last two seasons. You really think he's number two?
Yeah.
I get it. When he plays, it's off the charts. But 10 games in the last two seasons? That's barely half of a season in the last two seasons. So I don't understand that. And it says that Carolina's beefed up their offensive line this offseason. Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. If he can't stay on the field, it doesn't matter
exactly.
If they've got all pros up and down that offensive line. The dude never plays. So I'm a little perplexed by that. Number three.
I would say Derrick Henry.
It's got to be Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's got to be Derrick Henry. But I know Eckler. It's not because how you presented the question, yes.
It's Austin Eckler. It's nice. Again, he's a guy that gets banged up a lot.
Scott didn't even have over 1,000 yards.
I know.
And he played 16 games.
Did he play all last year?
He missed one game.
Okay. Usually he's hurt.
Missed one game and didn't have over 1,000 yards.
Yeah. I don't understand that. Austin Eckler, number three. Derrick Henry, number four. Now, of course, they're going to – and this is fair, and this is the real reason I'm bringing this up because – we have talked about this, and we're not going to know. In fact, we just talked about this the other day. But, Willie loves to bring up age. Like, he immediately always goes to age. And they say, now that he's 28 years old. and coming off his first major injury, which is fair. Says his yards after contact have dipped in each of the past two seasons. But it says still leads the NFL in touches per game with 29.6 and expected points per game. This is talking about the fantasy angle, 21 points per game while on the field. Over the past three seasons, only Devontae Adams has, again, bringing in the fantasy angle, has more fantasy points per game. But fourth, the injury part is going to be, you know, and that's what's kind of intriguing about what they have in Hassan Haskins. I'm sure they're anxious to see what they have. And this is a guy who runs downhill. This is a guy who runs hard. And you do wonder if he can give Derrick Henry, you know, much-needed rest, get some time off where he doesn't have to carry the huge workload that he has carried to this point. But also, Derrick Henry's a freak, so we don't know. Maybe this changes everything for him. I thought Eddie George was a freak. He was a freak, but he never recovered from the turf toe. And I do wonder, you know, will this plague Derrick Henry moving forward? I don't know. We're about to find out. Or Derrick Henry could come out and be Derrick Henry, the same guy before the injury, and, you know, he'll be the one getting the last laugh like he's probably done a lot in his life.
Well, but I would say to people who think that way, Eddie was doing that from day one. You know, when he was drafted by the Titans, he was their bell cow, number one, drafted by the Houston Oilers, then Tennessee Titans. Became the Tennessee Titans. He was the workhorse day one. He didn't get a chance to sit back and watch and learn and, you know, split reps and split time and carries between another back. He was the man. As soon as he came in, they knew they were going to turn around and get the ball to him. Derrick Henry didn't have to experience that because the Titans had a really good running back at the time. So day one wear and tear didn't look like Eddie's day one wear and tear. Now, obviously, over the last three seasons, he's gotten a lot of carries. Three and a half seasons, he's gotten a lot of carries. But I don't truly see any slowing down when it comes to Derrick Henry right now. Yes, he did have a foot injury. I get that. And yes, you know, I felt it was him coming back too early, and that's why he, you know, didn't look like the running back that we were accustomed to seeing. But I will almost guarantee you, barring any other setback, we're going to see the old Derrick Henry again. But it's good that they went and drafted Hassan Haskins, because I said this. I said, listen, they're going to have to draft a running back.
You know,
I kind of threw
it
out there in the first round as the out-of-the-box thing. But I said they were going to have to draft a running back because Hilliard is not Derrick Henry, and whoever else is behind Hilliard is not Derrick Henry. They needed a workhorse. They needed a physical, powerful running back. And they got them one in this year's draft, regardless if he is a Michigan guy. I know that. I'm not going to hold that against him during the interview. But the kid's talent is off the charts. He's a really good running back. So he's a really good complement to Derrick Henry, meaning when they bring Henry out, they can still run that power game with Haskins.
So you are going to participate?
Yeah, I'm going to participate. I'm not that, you know, petty. I'm not. I might throw a shot here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm not petty to kid, you know.
Can you wait towards the end?
Yeah, I'll wait toward the end.
You know, so you
I'll
don't wait toward the train end. Wreck the interview?
Yeah, I slip a little small one in there, you know. But no, listen, I don't care what college you're from. It's your fault. You didn't choose Michigan State. That's your problem, not mine. But if your talent is there, I'm going to recognize the talent, and I've seen this kid play, and he's a baller.
Yeah, that's basically what everybody's saying. Like, this, look out for this fourth-round pick. There's a lot of people praising that pick just because of how he runs. So we'll talk to him to begin the second hour of the DDC. We do that next.
All righty, pay attention. Get in the ring with BetMGM, and you can win $200 for a $10 wager on the boxing showdown between Canelo Alvarez and Dmitry Bivol. Just use a code 1025GAME200, and if the fight goes past the first round, you'll receive $200 in free bets. All you have to do is download the app, or, of course, you can go to BetMGM.com. Use my code 1025GAME200 and bet $10 on the mega fight everyone's been waiting for. If the fight goes past the first round, you'll claim $200. It's that simple. And don't forget to watch live on DAZN May 7th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.